Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we'll be continuing the Toxic series with week two, Words. Let's listen in with Pastor Jarvis Glanzer.
We're doing a series because here's why. So many times we deal with families, or we deal with couples and wives, or we deal with pre-marriage, or we deal with siblings, or whatever we deal with. But I feel like a lot of times what people bring to us is almost like not everything. It's like, well, they said this and they said this, and I'm always like, my wife and I were like, we just want to go, give us the whole enchilada. Like, why is this happening? It's if it's the same thing reoccurring, there's more going on underneath the surface. One of the things I always tell people is, I don't want to deal with the frosting on the cake. I want to deal with the cake itself. Like, because I want to deal with the decisions, and listen, the decisions and the mentality and the way we make decisions and act, sometimes we think it's the truth, but it's actually built on habits, and some of those habits and some of those thoughts are actually toxic things in our lives that we need to get rid of. So my goal in this whole thing is not for us to come here on Sunday mornings and have group therapy and to lay it all down and say, we got to get rid of this, but to fill it with something better, to get rid of the stuff that's not good so we can fill it with the best of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if we just unload it and then refill it with something else, we just created another habit that probably won't be the best. And so my idea is this. What if we empty out and get rid of the things and fill it with what God has designed for us to do? And the goal of this whole series is this, is no longer make decisions and have opinions about ourselves based upon what others have said about us or to us or the toxins or decisions, but based upon what Jesus Christ and God says about us. Because if we can figure out the truth, because this is not even part of my sermon, so here we go. I feel too many people walk around deflated and already a victim because what people have treated them or decisions they made or consequences, and you literally walk around as a victim when that's not why Jesus died on the cross for. And he actually says, I have not just come to give you life, but more abundantly, and I have come to, you know what I'm saying, the battle's already won. He says, I've come to give you victory. And I think what's interesting in our own life is saying, listen, we just need to walk this out in our own spiritual life. So Romans says this, if you can look on the screen, Romans says, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Listen, transforming. You got four options. Either you're going to conform to the patterns of the world, conform, or you're going to go half this way, half this way, and you're going to be deformed because you don't know who you are, or you're just going to be like a lot of church people who come who know what they should do but never change, who are just informed or listen. Or you can know what to do and start changing what to do and start becoming transformed. And that's what I pray. So everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name for each person in this room. Lord, I just pray that we become transformed beings, like that we just become transformed people, Lord, into what you've called us to do. Lord, you've done so much. And Lord, I help us to see, Lord, those things in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. It's interesting because I was just telling somebody, I don't preach this because my wife and I have figured this out. Listen, there are some things in life you master, and there's some things you just manage. And so, what I will say is this, the more you grow closer to the Lord and the more wiser and older you get usually, the more you become aware of your hurtful nature. Is this true? Like, the more you become aware. Our whole thing is this, let's just become aware. Let's just not be ignorant. Let's be aware of who we are, what we need to fix, and learn how to deal with this. And so today, as we go through with this, I just want you to, a few of you guys to know is this, real life begins on the inside. It begins here. And not only it begins here, it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you. Life is not just what happens to you, but what happens within you. So today, we're going to go into a thing called toxic words. And everybody heard that nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my, but words, that's a lie, right? Think about that for a second. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Listen, I can tell you this. My wife laughs at me all the time because literally it's weekly. It is literally weekly. I come home and I either have a giant bruise from something or my leg is swelled up and she's like, how'd that happen? I said, I have no clue. Right? Is this true? Like, and she still has grace and mercy, which is amazing. But I feel like I always have some kind of ailment. I come home, like, she's like, how'd that happen? I don't know. But like, bones and bruises and breaks may come. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, listen, it's words that do hurt us. It's words that go deep. It is so false because that's backwards. It's the words that go deep in us that do hurt us. I think it's interesting, the power of words. Words have power. People have said to you, maybe you will never amount to anything. I wish I never had you. So you say, some people said, you are nothing like your brother. I'm sick of you. I've never loved you, never wanted you. You will never change. And last week I talked about how people have said, growing up, people said to me, you're just fat. Words carry weight. But here's how it looks. Creative words create. Destructive words destroy. Hurtful words crush. Soothing words heal. Faith words fill up. Helpful words build up, but toxic words poison. James 3:1-11 says this. This is, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves every other way. Think about that. If we could control our tongues, it's saying, we can make a large horse go wherever he want by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that make grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. Now let's just pause here and just move on. It says the tongue is a rudder. And I'm just going to tell you this. Just because you didn't speak it verbally doesn't mean you didn't say it. And here's what it means. We live in a technology culture that is so built on social media and information and all this kind of things. Where's Jen Birch? Jen, you're up here? She said something in a girls' Bible study that Jane told me, and I'm just going to say again, I'm going to give you credit where it's due. But she says emails and text are for information. You know what I'm saying? And face-to-face is for, how would you say it? Communication. Isn't that good? And so it's interesting because on social media and on all these things, we tweet out and we're speaking. Listen, even though you may share, now check this out. Even though you may share something on Facebook and it's not your words, what you're sharing, you're speaking out of your mouth. You catch us so far? And so you are using your words whenever you don't even know it. And so, for instance, when we first started a church in Watermark, before we even launched, I was talking to a pastor, and most of you don't know who this guy is, but I was talking to a pastor, and as soon as I said that we're in a school, we're going to try to do what God called us to do in a school, this is his response. Now, think about this. As a church planner, just beginning to start a church in Stillwater, my goal was to reach a community, become a church, what God's called us to reach our community. And as soon as I said this to him, he's like, nobody in this community is going to view you as a church until you have a building. And I'm telling you, right then, this is about 2 months before our first service, you can just punch a balloon, right? You can just hear that my sales just went, and I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah. He goes, only thing people care about is a building. That's all they care about. They just want. And I said, I don't think that's true. So why would everybody else think that's true? And so we went home, and I told Jane, and we kind of prayed about it. And it was a year later that he came up to me again. He goes, I don't know how you did it, but you guys are really doing great things in a community. I guess you don't need a building. And I said, I guess we don't. Boom, so there. But I guess what's interesting about it is so many things, people deflate us, and sometimes these words tear us down, and God has come to build up. And I just want, before we go into our points, I just want to say this. If you are a person who is not good with your words, and you are constantly pulling people down, and you're ripping people apart, and you're always finding a reason to come against somebody, I'm just going to throw this out there. Listen, God came, Jesus came to restore and bring to life, to add value and bring life. Satan comes as a thief, a deceiver, and to rip apart. So the question is, whose side are you on when you are spilling out toxic words? Are you working for somebody or are you working against somebody? That's all I'm saying. Because either your words are taking life away or your words are adding life. So we just got to be very careful how we say things. So here we go. Point number one is this. If you are following along, I'm going to talk about as Christians what we need to do. And sometimes, listen, I can sit and tell you all day long. I can go to every person in this room and say, what has somebody said hurtful about you? What has someone said? We can all have stuff. But here's the deal is this. I don't want to just say, don't do this. I want to say, what are we supposed to do? Is that making sense? So here's what we're called to do. Number one is this. Speak life-giving words every chance you get. Every chance you get, say something. Never miss an opportunity to speak the truth, to add value. Greet, for instance, so many people come up to me and say, I just don't feel like it. I'm not in a mood today to be nice to anybody. Like, I'm just not, maybe somebody cut you off in traffic and you would get to your business, and once you get there, some of you are already nodding saying, yes, that's me. And you get there and you're already saying, I'm not in a mood to be nice to any of these people. Even though they're not the ones that cut me off, I'm not in the mood. Right? Some of you posting this on Facebook, I'm not in a mood today. Right? Like, I'm like, listen, can I just tell you, here's what I learned in life. Great feelings follow great actions. Action, listen, feelings usually follow great actions. Just because you don't feel like it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. I'm telling you, too many people make decisions on their life because, oh, I just feel like it. This is just how I feel, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, last night, my wife and I, we love putting our kids to bed, but sometimes we don't feel like getting out of bed and making them breakfast. Is this right? Almost every morning. My wife and I'm telling you, we have the best arguments. And it happens when we have days off. And it's called our silent arguments. Because we'll be laying in beds, our kids get up when a rooster crows, and they're up, and I can just tell, without saying a word, she's wanting me to get up, and I'm wanting her to get up. And we're just fighting silently in our sleep. Right? This is what happens. Because none of us feel like getting up, but we get up not because we feel like, because we know with our actions. Now listen, if you are just waiting to do something good until you feel like it, you will never do anything good. Good feelings follow good actions. If you're a parent, you understand this. You want your kids to do great things and good things and help out. It may not feel like it, but listen, we got to train a generation of kids to go past their feelings and make good decisions based upon the truth. And so what's interesting about that is it says in Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening. Anytime, here's a rule. If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's rule number one today. Anytime you think something positive about somebody, just say it. The other rule is this. If you think something negative, you don't have to say it. But if you, here's the rule, if you're thinking, if I'm walking past Eric, and Eric got a new haircut, and I'm thinking, Eric really looks good, he has a good haircut, and I just walk past him, that didn't benefit me or him. Right? And nothing. But if I said, Eric, nice haircut. Hey, thanks. Okay. Listen, what does that hurt? What about a rule of thumb that just says, if you're thinking something positive about someone, just say it. Like, I like those shoes, and I like what you have, but I love your personality. You know what I would love, you know what I love to hear? I love it when people, I heard this a few weeks ago, somebody else, and they just said, I just love it. You make me feel so much more welcome when I come. I'm like, that is so cool. Think about, here's some phrases that we can maybe say. I love the way you love your kids. Doesn't every mom want to hear that? I love the way you love your kids. Don't ever say something like, you wear that ugly sweater really well. Right? Don't say that kind of stuff. Don't make your positive into a negative. That's not accurate. But it's you can make up your own thing. The way you worship really encourages me. Your life encourages me. The way you handle the circumstance was really helpful. Your faith builds my faith. The way you walk, you know what I'm saying? The way you do this and the way you do this, your life. You're such a role model for me. Because you need to tell them, whether it's in a text, letter, or whatever it is, I'm telling you, it's something good. Something happens on the inside. So I'll even say this. If you're a husband and a wife, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you don't like what you're getting from your spouse, check what you're giving your spouse. For instance, I'll say this. People will typically and usually rise to the level of your compliments. People will typically rise to the level of the compliments. So if there's a wife out there who is constantly telling her husband that he's no good, that he's lazy, that he's, you know, saying he doesn't listen, he doesn't do any work, he doesn't do anything, you are setting a pace because I'm telling you, people will typically rise to the level of their compliments. Now, I'm not saying generically, you know, find anything and just say, well, that person's the best. You're the best. You're the best person. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying find something. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Find something and encourage each other. For instance, I'll tell you this. My wife, I can hear all day from people. Not that I'd be nice, but I'm just saying, people tell me all day long, oh, you preach a really good sermon today. That's cool. Thanks. That's awesome. It's encouraging. But when my wife says it, she's way better than you. I'm just kidding. But my wife has heard me she's heard the same stories over and over. And when she comes to me and says, that was really good today, do I take it differently? Does that make any sense? There is something different about the encouragement. And so I would say this, husbands, your wife is the standard of your beauty. Your wife is the standard. So, and this is what I need to get better at. What's interesting about it, make sure she knows that she is your honey, your mama, your sweetheart, your baby, whatever you call her. But I'm just telling you, and compliment, build up, and allow that room. Because it says this, speak life. Another one is this. Number two is this. Speak life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstances. So number one is speak life-giving words to every chance you get. And number two is speak life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstance. There's so much out there toxic self-talk. And this is, I'm telling you, this destroys so many people. Because before you even start doing something, most of you are literally talking yourself out of something. So I'll give you perspective. Anybody, when they're a little kid, ever go to a pool that had a giant diving board and all you wanted to do was jump off of it? Anybody else in here? Like me? Okay, so you get the guts to climb to the top of it. You climb up there and it looks so awesome. And to me, I visualized 20 foot, but mine was only like 5 foot out the pool, just so you know. And you get up there and you're standing up there, and here's what begins to happen. The longer it takes for you to get to the edge and jump off, the more chances you have never to do it. And so, because what happens, you get to the edge and you're just saying, you begin to talk yourself out of something that you wanted to do. You begin to tell yourself all the things that could go wrong. You begin to tell yourself that I'm going to get hurt, this is no good, this self-talk. And here's what happens. You even do this with small things. You might, like I was saying before, you might want to say, I should really go pray with that person. I should really go invite them to church. I should really go spend some time with them. I should really, you know what I'm saying, I should really tell them, you know what I'm saying, tell them something positive. But what happens is, if you don't do it right away, you begin to talk yourself out of doing something good that God has already called you to do. Because this self-talk destroys us, because this becomes toxic in us. We start thinking about things that might happen to us. So all of a sudden it brings life. Scripture says I can do all things. But I love this. Matthew 17:20, Jesus is talking to disciples. And he says, he replied by saying, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain. And he says, say to it, move from here to there, and it will be done. Because nothing is impossible for you. So I'm telling you, listen, I am not telling you that we are a church that believes in name it, claim it. But what I'm going to tell you is this. There is something he spoke to the mountain. Well, let's check this out. He spoke life to the mountain. It says this. It says, don't talk about your mountain. Talk to your mountain. Don't talk about the circumstance. Talk to it. Because I want to read this. David and Goliath. If you know David, David was a shepherd boy, and he was with the sheep. His brothers and the whole nation was on the front lines because this guy named Goliath came down. And Goliath, here's how it's set up. They couldn't beat Goliath. So the enemy army said to this other army, and said, we'll send out your best. You send out your best. We'll send out our best. Why are we killing everybody on both sides? Why don't we just kill one person? So you send out your best warrior, we'll send out our best warrior, and we'll see. And whoever wins that battle wins the war. So all of a sudden, they send out Goliath. And when the whole army in the front line saw Goliath comes out with this giant sword, this giant beast, nobody goes, listen, nobody went out there and said, I'll take this guy out. Jim Boo wasn't there, right, Jim? Like, Jim would have done it. And so if it was me, I'd be like, I'm out. So what's interesting about this is David comes to bring food to his brothers, and he's pretty much saying, what's going on? And they said, the battle's almost over, but they want us to send out our best warrior, and they send out Goliath, and we have nobody who wants to fight him. And here's a shepherd boy who goes, I got it. And I love this, because if you listen to the shepherd and the sheep sermon I did a few weeks ago, you're going to realize he's already killed a lion and a bear because he's a shepherd. He's already defended the sheep. He's already fought off predators. And he's like, listen, I'm going to take care of this. He goes, I've already defeated this and this and this. I know I'm little, but listen, I'm a fighter. I'll take care of business. And then we get to this. 1 Samuel 17 says this. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt as this ruddy-faced boy came out. And he says, am I a dog, roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? Here's Goliath, and here is David, no armor on, no nothing, just a slingshot and a few things, and he comes out, and he's literally saying, why are you just giving me morsels because I'm a dog? Send out your best. And he says, that you come at me with a stick. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. So he's literally making fun of him. And then he says, come over here, I'll give you your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. He says, I'm going to carve you up, and butcher you. I'm going to feed you to the animals. And David, now think about this. Little boy David versus Goliath. And then David, who's shorter, this is what he says. He goes, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies. How awesome is that? Like, listen, I don't care who you are. He says, I come at you with the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. He goes, today the Lord will conquer you. Now, he's never saying, I will. He's saying, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Dude, sticks and stones may break my bones. Dude, Goliath just came to David and said, and makes fun of him, saying, you little run, I'm going to feed you the birds. And here comes the little run. David saying, listen, I'm going to cut off your head. What? He can't even reach. What's going to happen here? And all of a sudden it goes on to say this. He says, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled there will know the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give it to us. Now listen, after this, he takes out his smooth stones, catapults them right into the giant's head, and he falls over, cuts off his head, and they win the victory because the battle belongs to the Lord. But I just want you to know this. How come David had so much strength to stand up to one of the biggest things he's ever faced and just stand there and saying, I got this? Because it wasn't he got this. He said, you got this. You guided me here, so that means you're going to provide me here. Listen, it's not a name it, claim it, but I want you to check this out. It says, I'm not saying whatever you say is going to for sure happen. What I'm saying is this. Align your words with his words over you. What is God already speaking? What's the truth? And does it line up with what you are doing? What's the truth? He's saying, I'm going to align what God says with what's going on. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard around my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips, but set a guard on my heart. He says, Lord, what are you speaking, and am I speaking your truth? If you told me, listen, if there's a mountain in front of you, now I'm telling you, and here's where it gets personal. Some people in this room have family things that are so heavy on you right now. There's tragedy, there's hurt, there's bondage, there's prodigal children, there's these things. And to you, those are your mountains. There's people in this room, either you are or somebody in your life is sick. And it might be physically, it might be cancer, it might be, you know what I'm saying, something else in your body. And to you, that is literally a mountain that you wake up every single morning and saying, how are we going to get across this mountain? For some people, your debt is so high. And maybe you're just saying, I don't know, I don't see any way around this mountain of debt. And what God is saying to you, he's saying, listen, I'm just saying, you can speak about your circumstances, or you can speak to the Father who's in control of your circumstances. Now listen, I'm telling you, the reason that verse is so powerful, it says, there's a peace that passes all understanding because it's found, listen, the peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't tell you why things happen. I can't tell you why sickness happens. I can't tell you all this stuff. All I can tell you is this. Just like I said during a shepherd series, we are called to the good shepherd. He is a good shepherd. We got to stay within his flock, and we got to keep pursuing him. It's not about the other sheep all the time. It's about pursuing the shepherd. Is that making sense? Pursue him. Number three is this, and we're going to close pretty soon. It says, guard your heart against toxic words. And here's where I want you to go. I want you to guard your heart against toxic words. You cannot control what people say about you, but you can control what you believe. Now listen, you cannot control the negative things and the toxic words that people have spoken over you, but you can control what you believe about what has been said over your life. You can take it. It's your decision whether you're going to believe that or not. For instance, every single day as a father, you can ask my wife this, I am constantly telling my kids how awesome they are, how beautiful they are, how, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, in my, all the time, I'm always telling my kids, because someday someone in the playground is going to tell them that they're ugly or dumb. I hope not. I'll deck him in the face. But I'm telling you, I want my words to be stronger than any other word they may hear that's toxic. Just the other day, I was with Charlie, and we were picking up donuts yesterday for church. And on our way there, I said, Charlie, you know Daddy loves you, right? She was like, yep. I said, you know you're beautiful. She's like, I know I'm beautiful, Dad. And I said, it just warms my heart. And then I said, who thinks you're beautiful? She says, you do, Dad. I said, and she goes, I said, and inside I'm going, see, that's all, just always be Daddy's little girl. And Proverbs says it this way, and it's pretty amazing. Proverbs says, 4:20 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them, the healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Here's the deal. Guard your heart above all else. So when toxic words come to you, you got a question you got to say is this. So the question is what's the source? What's the source of all this? And I think this is why this is pretty amazing, because I think in a lot of our lives we hear words. Like we hear words like this. And there's a thing I want us to learn today. Number one is if you have anything positive to say, say it. But listen, the biggest thing I want you to understand today is this. Two words, truth or trash. And I wish I would have learned this when I was a little kid. Because in order to know this, you have to know Scripture. I'm telling you right now, bring Bibles to church. I don't care how you do it, but study your word, because the word is very important, because it's God's love letter to you. It's the instruction book. And because it's filled with things that God has told you who you are. Listen, if you don't know the word, you don't really know who you are. You know what I'm saying? This is how we get. And so what's interesting about this is so many people just kind of bang the scene. So I'm going to tell you this. What's interesting is someone maybe told you before, you're a failure. You're going to never amount to anything. That you know what I'm saying? Everything you touch is failing. Everything that you look at fails. Which is interesting, because I'm telling you this. In Scripture, it says that you're not a mistake. Just because you might make mistakes doesn't mean you are a mistake. Just because you've made some bad choices, the best choice is this, is that who you choose to be your Lord. So he's saying, is this truth or trash? I'm telling you, trash. And all of a sudden we get to this. Some people say, even saying, I'm super unlovable. Nobody loves me. You know what I'm saying? Every person I get in a relationship with, it's just not, I just don't feel lovable. I don't feel liked. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That who would ever believe him? Think about this. He gave his son not because you were unlovable, because you were lovable. He gave his son because out of love. As a parent, when we decided to have three kids, honestly, this is my worry. I told Jane, I said, we have two kids that I love. I don't know if I have enough space to love one more. Like, how am I going to love a third one? And then Sadie comes. Love was created. I love her just as much. Some days. Just kidding. But think about this. Listen, somebody says you're unlovable? Trash. Some people says, listen, Jars, I'm not able. I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to get up in the morning and go, you don't understand, like, me and my friend, we're not getting along anymore. You don't understand, at work, it's a bad situation. I'm not able to do this. I don't have what it takes. I don't have all this. Can I just tell you the biggest false thing in Scripture that we talk about? Jeremiah 20:11, you know what I'm saying? People say all the time, use that verse, and this is what they say, God will never give you more than you can handle. Pish posh. I feel like I'm always in situations where I can't, because he's bigger than my situation. Amen? I feel like we'll always be put in situations beyond what we can handle, but that's because we rely on the Lord, because he's big. David couldn't handle Goliath, but the Lord with David could. I'm not able. 2 Corinthians says, I am able. He says, I'm able to do immeasurably more than I can ever ask or imagine. Trash. I'm worthless. Whew. I think this is really hard because so many people in your life, you, especially women, you look at different things and you look at media and you look at Facebook and you watch movies and you look at somebody else's highlight reel and you think, this is not my life. And people start saying things to you and you start feeling like you're worthless. Listen, you are valuable. I'm telling you this right now. If I were to give my life, if something was going to happen to me and Jerry risked his life and Jerry died saving me, I am no longer just worth my life. I am now worth Jerry's life. Is this true? True, right? This is why people who go to war for this country is so important. Because people who are police and people who are fire department, people who give their lives for your freedom and give your lives for your safety, this is why it's so important, because of this reason. Because if somebody dies trying to save your freedom or trying to save you, their life is now worth you. So when Jesus died on the cross and died for you, he's not dying because you're worthless. You are now worth not just your life, but somebody else's life who's willing to pay for it. So when you say you're worthless, you're saying, I'm not worth it, which is trash. You say, I'm ugly. Dude, we don't need to spend time here. One, if Jarvis thinks you're awesome, right? And so when people say these truths, I love this. In Psalms, it actually says, you are the apple of your Father, your Creator's eye. People say all the time, well, you just have your Father's eyes. People might say, you have your mother's eyes and your father's hips. I don't know what they ever say. But he says, you have your Father's eyes. That means you are the apple. You are the one who looks. I have Dan and Brina come down here. Think about this. You are a mistake. I hate this one. You mean people tell me all the time? Not as much and more, but I used to hear it all the time saying, I was unplanned. I wasn't planning pregnancy. My mom and dad weren't even planning me. That's fine. And the parents might even joking about it. And then they might go to the kid and say, you weren't even planned. We just happened to have you. Here's what I like to say about this. Just because your parents didn't plan on you doesn't mean God didn't have a plan for you. Just because somebody else says you're an accident doesn't mean you're an accident. Because it says in my scripture, it says in 1 Thessalonians, it says that you are chosen and wonderfully made. It actually says in Jeremiah, it says in the beginning, it says that you were thought about before you were even conceived. That means that God had a plan, but he put his creative juices together, and he put things inside of you that nobody else would have before you were ever born. So when you say you're a mistake, that's trash. Look at this. Some people say, I'm just alone. Nobody cares. I'm in a crowd of people, and I'm saying, and I just always feel alone. I feel like nobody really cares for me. Nobody understands me. Nobody cares where I'm at. Can I just tell you why this is trash? Because in Scripture, it is said, God says, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. I am a friend who sticks closer than a... You guys know this. Right? We know this. We say, I'm just alone. I'm just at work. Nobody else is a Christian. Nobody else gets what I'm going through. That's perfect. You're right where you need to be then. Right? I think it's interesting because I just feel alone. I'm just this way. Trash. Think about this. I'm stupid. Listen. Some people say, you're not smart. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're not going to amount to much. Well, my scripture says this, that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, that you were created, as a temple, that it's inside of you. So when you say you're dumb, that means the wisdom of the Father lives within inside of you. That means when somebody comes, you might not have all the answers, but you know someone who does have all the answers. You might be like, I don't know the answer to that. But listen, I'm not stupid because my God is bigger, and so bigger than this, so that's trash. This one makes me really mad. Anybody else? This is what I call those Eeyore mentalities. Don't you just see it? Those people that always have like the victim mentality, like everything's always going wrong. Listen, this is my honesty here. Some people I just do feel bad for. Because, listen, there are certain people I see, it's one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. But what I said in the beginning, it's not what happens to you, it's what's happening within you. What is God doing inside of you? So just because you are the victim of your circumstances doesn't mean you are a victim of life. Now listen, the reason I want to share this is because this. There was an old hymn, some of you old people might understand this, and one of the phrases is, by grace alone by which I stand, all other grounds are sinking sand. Grace alone is sufficient. If you call yourself a Christian, the reason I worship not God is not because of health and God has given us good stuff, and that's all good, don't get me wrong. But even if all we had is grace and that's it, you are still victorious. Because that means death doesn't hold you down. That means you are no longer the victim. Revelation says that you are victorious. And it says in Scripture that you're not just conqueror, but you're more than a conqueror. That you already won the battles. Not because you're good, because he's good. You are not the victim. You are not the victim. You might be going through a hard situation, but listen, you are victorious. Trash. I keep the best till last, right? Here's what I find really funny. I find this excuse really funny. People say, I don't know how I'm going to be used. I'm old. I'm just old and Father Time is getting a hold of me. Grandma, can you raise your hand? All right, there you go. I'm not going to brag about this woman, but I will. Here we go. I've never seen anybody pray more in my entire life. She prays for the needs. She just constantly, and she doesn't say, I'm just old. I don't know what to do. She says, I got a mission. Here's what I'm going to do. There's a girl named Ruth Speed. When my wife and I left our older church, our last Sunday there was this little old lady who came up to me and Jane. Which I think, you were there. She's old. Like, she was old. She came up to us, and she's the sweetest lady. And she came up to me, and she says, I don't know why I'm still on this earth. My parents are gone. My husband's passed away. All my siblings are gone. I'm by myself. But she says, honestly, I think I'm still here to pray for you and Jane. Still makes me tear up. I'm telling you this, if you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. Amen? Because I don't care how old you are. I just want you to be nice. Right? Trash. Can I just tell you, think about your own life. What things have you believed in your own life that should be thrown away? On my desktop, I have a trash bin, right? You might have had that trash on the bottom. It's like that garbage can. My wife and I were just talking about this the other night. Just because you put things in the trash doesn't mean you emptied the trash. Your kid can come up to you with garbage and you throw it away, but just because the trash can's in your kitchen doesn't mean it's gone. Because you still got to bring the trash outside. You still got to put it in the bin, and then the big garbage truck has to come and take it away. Here's what happens to us. We may throw stuff away, but it's still in our house. You may put stuff in the trash, but you haven't emptied it yet. And this is what Dan is saying about surrendering. At some point, You may be aware of the trash in your life, but you need to get rid of the trash can in your life. You need to empty it out. You need to surrender it and say, I'm no longer going to live with this junk, this toxic stuff. I'm no longer going to live this way. I'm going to empty out the trash. And this is what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and clean us. Not that we're perfect, but because we're better. Not that because we're perfect, but because we're forgiven. Not because we're perfect, because listen, your relationships with everybody can be better.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the Toxic Sermon Series.